Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Satan comes up and he goes, you're never going to come here. And David just, you just come along and take the stronghold of whatever Satan told you you couldn't have. Because God doesn't give a rip about what you think. God doesn't give a rip about what an unbeliever or what Satan or what anybody, any kind of opposition that comes up against a believer thinks. He doesn't care about that stuff. It doesn't matter that you have opposition. It matters who's with you in these things. And so David wanted Jerusalem, and David took the stronghold of Zion. And it says that is the city of David. Now David said, whoever attacks the Jebusites first, and what they're telling you is how the city was taken. Whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. And Joab the son of Zeruiah went up first and became chief. Remember, we talked about this last time. David is Joab's uncle. And so he's a close relative of David. He was probably older because of the whole sister thing and where that ended up in relation to his father. In any case, he was probably older. And so Joab ends up going up first, and he became chief. This is how Joab becomes the general of David's army. Now, one of the things that you have with Joab, Joab's this really interesting character, because there are times when the guy is just right on. And he's doing the right thing. There's some times when Joab gave David some advice that was just dead on, and David needed to do the stuff concerning his son, and actually in two different instances concerning his son, bringing his son back and then getting over it when his son was put to death because he was in rebellion against the kingdom. In any case, Joab's kind of this weird guy, because sometimes he's just flaky and weaselly, and sometimes he's just a stand-up guy. And in all instances, he's a warrior. And so you have that whole thing with him. And he hears David say, first one to attack the Jebusites is going to be chief and captain. In other words, he's going to be the general of my army. And so what another passage over in Samuel says is that Joab shimmied up through the gutter, okay? And it's a shaft. There was on the city of David, the city of David sits on a ridge, obviously, that comes off a mountain. And about halfway down that ridge, at the bottom in a valley, is a spring. And it's called the Gihon Spring. And it flows like crazy. Lots of water comes out of that thing. And so it used to flow out into the valley. Well, what the Jebusites did was it was the only source of water for their city. And so what they did was down inside that, the city was sitting up on top, and they cut a tunnel that went down over the Gihon Spring, and then they cut a shaft that went down to the spring from the top. And then what they did was they walled up the outside of the spring. So it was basically a cave that this water would come out of. They walled up the cave, and then they put the shaft coming down to the spring, and you can still see it to this day. In fact, when we go to Israel, we look at it. You go down these steps down into this cave, and you walk to the spot, you look down this shaft, and the shaft is probably, gosh, it's probably 10 feet across, something like that. And you could see the water down at the bottom of the thing. And what happened was Joab got into the Gihon Spring, and he shimmied up the shaft and came up inside the city, and he went and opened the gates. The reason that these guys did this was to get water without going outside the city. And so, secret passage, basically. And so he shimmies up the shaft and goes and opens the gates, and in comes David's army, and they take the city of Jebus, which before had been called Jerusalem. Actually, Jerusalem had been conquered by Joshua, and it had been given back over to the Jebusites. The Jebusites had come back in and taken it over. It was originally called Salem by a guy named Melchizedek, and then later on it became Jebus, and now David's going to call it the City of Peace. Salem means peace. And David's going to call it Jerusalem, the city of peace. And that's the story of how Joab attacked the Jebusites and got the city. Joab gets put in this place because he's the first one to attack. And Joab's a flaky guy, right? I think that one of the things that we need to keep in mind when we look at who God uses is that God's not necessarily looking at guys who are awesome on every kind of level. What he's looking for are people, and I'm not just talking about guys. I'm talking about, you know, it's Joab's a guy. Guys and girls. What he's looking for is people who will just do it. Just do it. Stop thinking about it. Stop waiting for a plan. Stop, you know, trying to figure out how maybe God could use you in some kind of area, and just get up and do it. One of the things that I've noticed about who God uses over the years, basically what I'm telling you is Joab didn't wait for somebody to come along and go, "Hi, Joab, did you want to be general of the army of David? Here, I'll give you a little key to the gate of Jebus, and you can go up and open the door and, you know, go in." That's not what happened. Joab, there was a need. He saw what the need was. He figured out a way to do it. I'm a soldier. This is what we do. So I'm gonna soldier on, and I'm gonna go in, and I'm gonna, you know, he did an act of valor and shimmied up that whole thing and went and opened the gate, and it was a great victory, and he became general because of that. And God does the same thing with people who will step out for Him. If you will step out for Him, he's not looking at all your talents. He's just looking at your availability. He doesn't need your abilities. He just needs your availability. And so if you'll step out for Him, a lot of times the first people to step out are the people that God just ends up using. And, you know, all the rest of us can stand back and, you know, kind of cross our arms and look at them and go, "Well, you know, they did it this way, they did it that way, and they, you know," and it's like, that wasn't quite right, and that wasn't really great, and that kind of, and all you're doing is sniping at the guy who's actually getting something done. And that's not, you know, that's not how we're supposed to be. You want to do exploits for God, you're going to have to step out. And that's what Joab did, no matter what kind of guy he was. And so you have that whole thing. Shimmy up the shaft. That's what you need to do. Shimmy up the shaft. Get out there and do something. Then he goes on and he says, "Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel." And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Jashabim, the son of Hachmonite, chief of the captains. Back in Samuel, this guy's called a Dino. These guys had multiple names. And same guy, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300 killed by him at one time. And so what you have here is a list of David's mighty men. So these are the guys who are captains and majors and colonels and that kind of stuff in his army. And when we look at the three guys that I'm going to be talking about here real quick, they have three aspects of what I called mighty manness. Three aspects of mighty manness. And the first aspect that you have is this guy, Adino or Jashabim, lifts up his spear against 300 killed by him at one time. And obviously we're talking about real soldiers, real spears, that kind of thing. But there, you know, there's a picture here. And in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, when it talks about prayer, it talks about lifting up prayer before the Lord. There's a passage where Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands." And so, you know, when you look at God's standard of what it means to be a man of God, one of the things that we need to have squared away is the fact that we need to be praying. We need to be people who are talking to God. You want good things to happen in your life. You want the things that God wants for you to happen in your life. You have to go to Him about it. There's a passage in James that says, "You have not because you ask not, and you ask and you don't receive it because you ask so that you can spend it on your lusts." God's never going to bless your flesh. And so we need to be people who are going to the Lord. We need to be people who are praying. The Bible says in Thessalonians, we're to pray without ceasing. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And so I need to be going to the Lord about the things that He wants for me. I need to go to Him on a daily basis. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. That's what we sang in Sunday school. And you need to be people who are praying. A lot of times the reason that things are happening in other people's lives that aren't happening in your life is because they care to take it before the Lord. And it's, you know, that whole thing with God already knows my needs. Why do I have to come to Him all the time? I've had exactly the same complaints to God about those things. And one of the things that God does with me is He doesn't give me things unless I pray. And I'm not going to go around telling you guys when I'm praying about stuff and that kind of stuff. You don't go around and shout that out to everybody. But I pray about everything that's going on because I want God to be in control of my life. I want to get the things that God has for me. I go to the Lord all the time because I expect Him to be the one who's going to take care of things. And that's the way that we're supposed to be. He's my Father. From a woman's perspective, guys too, he's the bridegroom. I'm supposed to be the bride. And so I'm supposed to treat him like a husband. I'm supposed to treat him like a father. I'm supposed to treat him like a king. I'm supposed to treat him like a lord. I'm supposed to treat him like all those things. And so prayer is something that needs to be happening. And so if things aren't happening in your life, that might be one of those things that you want to look at. Then after him came Eleazar, the son of Dodo. How'd you like your mom's name to be Dodo? I don't know if that's his mom's name or not. It might be his dad's name. Hey, Dodo, dad, whatever. Dodo the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pasdamim. Now, there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley, so the people fled from the Philistines. But they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines, so the Lord brought about a great victory. And so this guy, Eleazar, is a guy who brought about a victory because he was defending the ground that he'd been given with a sword, obviously. And in fact, in Samuel, it talks about the fact that he had a tight grip on his sword. In fact, the grip was so tight that his hand, the Bible says, stuck to his sword by the end of the battle. So it's the kind of thing where he goes out and he goes to battle, and when he gets all done, he can't open his hand anymore because it's stuck. I used to frame when I was in construction. When I started framing, we didn't have nail guns. And so we used a hammer. And so I would swing a hammer all day long. And especially when it was a long day, and especially when I was new to a job, that kind of thing, I hadn't been framing for a while, your hand cramps up and it gets stuck around your hammer. And there are times when you have to like literally peel your fingers out from around your hammer. That's what he's talking about. That's what happened with his sword. So he's out there fighting and he's got to peel his hand off his sword. What's our sword? Yeah, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we need to be people, and that's the second thing. The first thing is we need to be people who are praying if you want to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. And the second thing that we need to have is a tight grip on the Word. We need to know what the Bible says. We need to know why God says things. We need to know why He calls us into things. We need to know that there are going to be times that He calls us to do something, that He's not going to give us all the information. We just need to be obedient. But we need to have a tight grip on the Word. You know, it's really hard to know in a lot of instances what God wants you to do if you've never read what God has said that you're supposed to be doing. And so I totally believe in God speaking to me on an individual basis. But most of the time that God has spoken to me over the years is when I've picked up my Bible and verses start smacking me in the forehead. And what I mean by that is I'm reading my Bible and all of a sudden I run across, I've been praying about something and I run across a verse and it's just the answer to my prayer. This is what I need to do. God's saying to me, this is where I want you to be. This is what I would have you do. This is how you handle this situation. Because a lot of times that's what my prayers were about. You need to have a tight grip on the Word, secondly. Then it goes on and it talks about the other guys that were used. Verse 15, it says, Now three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And so this is a time when David was on the run from Saul. And he had a whole group of guys that were around him that were basically a bunch of losers. And including these three mighty men. In this passage, it's gonna talk about the 30 chief men of David. But including the three mighty men, the Bible says that these guys who came to David were all distressed and in debt and discontent. And that describes a lot of us. Distressed and in debt and discontent. And what God does with these guys is He takes them from being losers in Israel and He turns them into mighty men of valor, like the Bible talks about. And the reason that happens is because they're hanging out with the king. David, when he got in this situation with Saul, was already a general. David was already a guy who understood what it meant to trust in God and to be dependent upon Him for for a battle. Remember when he was fighting against Goliath? He said, you come to me with sword and you come to me with armor, and I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. And he said, I'm going to cut your head off with your sword before we're here done here today, Bucky. Bucky's in the Hebrew. And I'm going to feed you to the dogs or to the birds of the air, he says. And that's exactly what he did. The Bible says that when David went after Goliath, that he picked up five smooth stones. Goliath had four brothers. He picked up five smooth stones. He slung the first one, put it in a sling. Started the slings back then were basically a little pouch, and then it had two strings that came off of it, and you would take that thing, and you would hold the string in your hand like this, and the other string would go through your finger, and you just let it go, and you'd swing it like this, and you'd let it go. And the Bible says that David ran at Goliath. He didn't run away from him. He didn't get a strategic position. He ran straight at the giant, and he slung that stone, and it hit him in the forehead. Remember that? That stone got buried in that guy's forehead. I have looked at Philistine armor, something that I was interested in, and every helmet that I've ever seen of Philistine armor always comes down over your forehead, and actually it comes down over your nose. He buried that in his forehead. That stone went through the armor, through that helmet, and into that guy's forehead, and he was dead before he hit the ground. And then the Bible says that David went over, picked up his sword, cut his head off, and killed him. So he's dead before he hit the ground, but he killed him again. He made him double dead, basically. And that was David's attitude towards that stuff. He called him, you uncircumcised Philistine. Who are you to defy the armies of the living God? That was David's attitude. First battle. That was David's attitude. And then when he became the general of Saul's army, again, God just blessed him, and he was a mighty, mighty man. He was a warrior. He was just cool. And now he's on the run with a bunch of guys who are discontent and distressed and in debt. And because they're hanging out with a king, they start becoming more and more like him. And by the end of it, these are mighty men of valor. And so that is another thing that we need to keep in mind. The closer I get to the king, the more I become like him. That's another reason for prayer. It goes on and says in the passage, and David said with longing, verse 17, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And he's not asking anybody to do it. He's just going, oh, Bethlehem was his hometown. And now it's overrun by the Philistines. And he's just like, oh, I wish I could have a drink of water from the well by the gate. It would be awesome. And obviously, he's not thinking that he could ever get it. And so the three broke through, verse 18, the camp of the Philistines drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. And again, those three mighty men were Adno, or Jashabim, Eleazar, and another guy named Shammah, who's mentioned in 2 Samuel 23. And so what happens is these guys are sitting around. They hear David wants a drink from the well of Bethlehem, and they sneak off. And they infiltrate Bethlehem, and they go get the water for him. And you can imagine David, you know, maybe he's sitting there in the cave of Adullam, and he's like, where's Jashabim? Where's Eleazar? Where's Shalom? Where are these guys? Man, I need to get some new generals, man. They're never around when I need them. He's probably, I get like that. I'll be in my office and I'll walk through and I'm looking for somebody and everybody's off doing something. And I'm like, where's my staff? Why am I the only one here? But I can imagine David doing exactly the same thing. And so he's walking around looking for him. And then somebody says, hey, there's three guys coming from Bethlehem. They're carrying something. And they got a water skin full of water, and they come walking up, got big old grins on their face, and say, David, we got something for you. And he goes, what? This is water. You wanted water from the well of Bethlehem? I got some water for you, buddy. And when David hears that, he's like, oh my goodness, I'm not drinking that water. You just offered your life for me doing that. And you know, the illustration there is pretty straightforward. What you have is guys who are close to the king, and they're not just interested in doing what he commands. They're not just interested in doing what he demands. They're interested in his desires. They're interested in his heart. And so when they see the king's heart, when they see his desire, they're just on it and off they go. They're so close to the king that they know the innermost desires of his heart. And then they go and they sacrifice themselves to do that. I'm grateful to Jesus. Jesus changed me. Jesus took me from being, discontented and in debt and depressed and, all that stuff. And he brought me into this place. And so I should have a heart that wants to serve him like that. And the third thing that I wanted to mention here that is kind of an attribute of somebody who's mighty for the Lord is that David doesn't take that and drink it himself. What he does is he uses it as an opportunity to worship God. David did this stuff all the time. And so little things would happen and he would just go, oh, this is awesome. We need to worship God over this stuff. And so David did all kinds of, non-conventional things. And so at one point, we're going to get to it a little bit later. He's bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. And he's just so excited. He wants to dance before the Lord. And so he takes off his robes. And he just goes out in what's called an ephod. It is not underwear. An ephod is just a white robe. It's what priests wore. And so it's just a plain white robe. And so he goes out in a plain white robe and he starts dancing around before the Ark of the Covenant. His wife sees him and he goes, and she just mocks him. And she says, you are naked before the people of Israel, before the women of Israel. What she's saying is, you didn't have your kingly robes on. And she's mocking him for the fact that he put aside his position and just looked like somebody who was just a priest, just out there worshiping God. And she wanted him, she wanted him to have his stuff on. Why aren't you wearing a suit, David? Why are you just out there in your jeans and t-shirt worshiping God? That's basically what the situation was. David was constantly using situations for spontaneous worship. And that's the third thing that you see. I need to be somebody who prays. I need to be somebody who holds tight to the word of God. And I need to be a worshiper. And when you live that kind of lifestyle, when you are like that, then most of the stuff that you need to deal with to get your heart straight, your heart right, and things right between you and the Lord are already taken care of, and God can move on to bigger and better things, like winning battles. And that's what I'll end with. We need to be mighty men, mighty women of valor. And those are good illustrations of that. Let's pray. I'll get you out of here. God, thanks again for your word. Thank you, Lord, for, like we were talking about before, like I prayed before, God, thank you for the examples that we have. One example that's not so great, one example that's pretty negative, and a picture of where a man can go, where a woman can go, even after they've met you, when they turn away from you and start living life the way that they want to instead of the way that you've called them to. And then we have the example of where life is supposed to go, what it's supposed to look like, what a man of God looks like, what the influence is that he has on the people who are around them. And Lord, we want to be that. We want to be that guy. So God, we just pray for an anointing that comes from you that would be recognized by our families and by our friends and ultimately by the world. And Lord, we want to be people who are worshipers of you, people who do honor you and honor your word, people who lift up our prayer to you, knowing that you're the God who answers us. Father, as we live that way, God, we know that awesome things are going to be happening to us and through us, Lord. We'll be shimmying up shafts and we'll be put in positions that we never thought that we could get just because you're the God who can do all things. And so, Lord, I just pray for your people, pray that you bless them as they go their way, and that you have your hand on each one of us. And we ask that you do this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.